Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. It's awesome to be with you again. Thanks for taking time to join us. Hey, do you know what time it is? That's right. It's time for your midweek Bible study 2024 edition. And today is Wednesday, April 3rd. We're continuing in our study of the book of Hebrews. Today, we're studying Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 20, and we're going to talk about examples of faith. But before we do that, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, thank you for the amazing privilege we have to study your word today. Lord, we come looking to find out more about these examples of faith. Who were these people and how can that impact our lives? Show us today clearly as we study your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen and Amen. True godly faith is defined as trust, relying on God when looking to the future and obeying even when we don't fully understand all the details. The great figures of the Old Testament, people like Abraham, Moses, and David, all lived according to this type of faith. Ultimately, that means trusting God's intent to make good on his promises from an eternal perspective. The model of faith presented by those people, in light of the struggles they faced, ought to inspire Christians toward a more confident, purposeful faith. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack chapter 11, where the writer will talk about several key Old Testament people and their lives of faith. So open up your Bible or Bible app to Hebrews 11, verse 1, and let's begin. Verse 1 reads, "Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see." You know, this is one of the most well-known verses in all of Scripture. Here's the question. What does it say about faith? Well, let me say right off the bat that we need to take this verse in context with the rest of the letter. The writer clearly states that faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Faith starts with believing in God's character, that he is who he says he is. Faith culminates with believing in God's promises that he'll do what he says he'll do. We often think of the word hope in terms of uncertain desire. I hope it doesn't rain on Saturday. But for believers, hope is a desire based on assurance, and that assurance is based on God's character. Look at the verse. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. That means that we have complete confidence that God will fulfill his promises, even though we don't yet see any evidence. These include things like eternal life, future rewards, heaven, and so forth. Faith regards these to be as real as what can be perceived with the senses. This conviction about God's unseen promises allows Christians to persevere in their faith regardless of the persecution, opposition, and temptation they will experience. Verse 2 says, "Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation." What does it mean that through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation? People with faith please God very much, true then, true now. But faith is not something we must do in order to earn salvation. If that were true, then faith would be just one more deed, and human deeds can never save us. Instead, faith is a gift God has given us because he's saving us. Even in the days of old, that's Old Testament times, grace, not deeds, was the basis of salvation. That's why Hebrews 10:4 says, "It is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." God intended for his people to look beyond the animal sacrifices to him, but too often they instead put their confidence in fulfilling the requirements of the law. When Jesus triumphed over death, he canceled the charges against believers and opened the way to the Father. Because God is merciful, he gives us faith. It'd be tragic to turn faith into a deed and try to develop it on our own. When believers have faith, that is, when they have confidence in God, they receive God's approval. The rest of the chapter, it's going to present examples of men and women who received God's approval because of their faith, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Verse 3 reads, "By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen." Question, how does this verse illustrate faith? As the writer says, faith allows us to understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. God created the world from nothing by his creative word alone. Believing this fact, it requires spiritual perception that we receive only by faith. This passage reminds us that all of creation was new, not made from pre-existent materials. The visible world did not come from anything that can be seen, the verse said. God called the universe into existence out of nothing. He declared it was to be, and so it was. We understand this by faith, though, don't we? Not because we saw it happen, but because we understand from what we read in Scripture and from our relationship with the loving Father that the world was created with a purpose and that we are part of that purpose. The Jewish believers reading this letter were in danger of returning to Judaism. Many may have desired to turn back because of the visual nature of the rituals and sacrifices that made their faith seem more real. But Christianity was based on so many invisible realities that many Jewish Christians may have begun to doubt its reality. Hebrews shows that Christianity's unseen truths are more real and more certain than what can be seen. Verse 4 is next. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval for his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Here's the question. This passage begins the first of many examples of faithful obedience. Who are the people involved here? Who was commended as a righteous man? And why? The two men here are brothers, Cain and Abel. They were Adam and Eve's first two sons. Cain, a farmer, brought an offering to God from the ground. Abel, a shepherd, brought a firstborn sheep. Abel's sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, was more acceptable to God. It says it was a more acceptable offering to God. And it also says, and God showed his approval. So Abel was commended as a righteous man. Because of Abel's faith, he still speaks by his example today. Verse 5 is next. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. Here's the question. Who's the next example of faith in this verse, and what is he known for? Well, the man's name was Enoch, and he was known as a person who pleased God. That's what the verse said. And as a result of that, he was taken up to heaven without dying. This passage states that God took him away from earthly life to heavenly life. Enoch is one of two Old Testament characters who never died, the other being, of course, Elijah. You can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. God chose to take Enoch without dying because Enoch lived, here it is, by faith. He was a righteous man and who was commended as the one who pleased God. Verse 6 is next. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. The question is, this is a popular verse of scripture, no question, but it can be easily taken out of context. What is the writer saying here in verse 6? God gave his approval of these Old Testament people because of their faith. In fact, it is impossible to please God without faith. That's what it says. This would have functioned as a warning to those Hebrew Christians whose faith was wavering. No one, not Abel, Enoch, or anyone else, can please God without faith. It's an absolute requirement, and all the rituals mean nothing without faith. To come to God presupposes two things. Number one, the person must believe that God exists. And then, number two, believe that God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Believing that God exists is only the beginning. Even the demons believe in God's existence. James chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. God will not settle for mere acknowledgement of his existence. He wants a personal, dynamic relationship with you that is going to transform your life. Verse 7 is next. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Here's the question. Here the writer continues with yet another example of faith. Who is it this time, and what did he do by faith? The individual is Noah, who by faith believed God's warnings of things that had never happened before. Noah had faith, and what did he do? He built the ark that God commanded him. Noah's faith condemned the rest of the world. Why? Because it illustrated what the people lacked. Those without faith faced God's judgment. Those with faith were saved. Noah is the first person in the Bible to be called righteous. He received the righteousness that comes by faith, it says. To say that Noah was righteous and blameless does not mean that he had never sinned. It means that he wholeheartedly loved and obeyed God. For a lifetime, Noah walked step by step in faith as a living example to his generation and future generations. The early believers could learn a lesson from Noah, and that is he simply trusted God and obeyed him even though he had no physical evidence of what was coming. Good lesson for us to remember. Verse 8 is next. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Here's the question. Abraham is the next Old Testament example of faith. How did he show faith in God? The writer explains that by faith, Abraham obeyed. He is first seen in his obedience to leave home and then go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. Abraham left on the basis of God's promise without even knowing where he was headed. He trusted in God's promises of even greater blessings in the future. Abraham's life, beloved, it was full of faith. As believers, we can take heart from Abraham's example of faith. God may ask us to give up secure, familiar surroundings in order to carry out his will. He may ask us to do some difficult tasks, but we can be sure that the outcome will always be for our best, drawing us closer and closer to him. Next, verse 9. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Question, how does Abraham continue to show his faith in this verse? Abraham lived by faith throughout the rest of his life, continuing to trust God as he lived in the land God promised him. Interestingly, this land was to be his as his inheritance, yet Abraham never possessed the land. Instead, he lived in his land like a foreigner living in tents. He didn't build cities, he didn't take over land, and neither did his son or grandson, Isaac and Jacob. That job would be left to their descendants hundreds of years later. But Abraham believed God's promise that eventually the whole country would belong to him and to his descendants. Next up, verse 10. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Here's the question. What does it mean that Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations? The key here is the verb looking forward. This connotes intensely looking forward to and waiting for that city. Abraham understood that the land was not their final destination, their real home, their permanent home, it was in heaven. This is the city designed and built by God. As Abraham was confident, you and I can be too. Verse 11 is next. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. Sarah is the next Old Testament character that the writer talks about. How did she show faith in God? It took faith for Sarah to trust in God's divine intervention in her physical body, and for her husband Abraham as well, because she was too old to give birth to a child. In addition, Sarah was barren, meaning she was unable to have children in her childbearing years. God promised Abraham a son, but Sarah at first doubted that she could become pregnant in her old age. Abraham was about 100, and Sarah was about 90 when Isaac was conceived. But Abraham and ultimately Sarah believed that God would keep his promise. The faithfulness of God, do you recognize that theme? We picked that up from last week's study in chapter 10. Promises from God, no matter how unlikely or even impossible they may seem as we look around at our circumstances, can be trusted because we can trust God's character. God can't lie, and he's not going to make a promise that he doesn't intend to keep. Verse 12 is next. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Question, how did God bless the faith of Abraham and Sarah? God rewarded their faith with a child whose descendants became a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there was no way to count them. This had been part of God's covenant with Abraham. The contrast is being made between Abraham, one man, and his countless descendants, the Jews, and eventually all Christians, all because of that one man's faith. God had indeed been faithful to his promise. Let's go to verse 13. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Question, how does this verse tie together the stories of the faithful ones we've just been reading about? Look at that phrase, all these people that have been described so far, look what it says, did not receive what was promised. That is the promise of the new eternal city. But these heroes saw and welcomed the promise, even though it was, as it were, from a distance. These people of faith died without receiving all that God had promised, but they never lost their vision of heaven. Their future hope was not from this earth, so they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Their agreement, this was not some passive receptivity, but an active declaration and pronouncement because of their faith in God. Let's take a look at verses 14 through 16. That's 14, 15, and 16. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That's why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Question, what do you think the writer's point is in these verses? I think the writer is saying that the world to come will be better than this present world. These people were foreigners and nomads, but they were not seeking to return to their old homeland on earth. Instead, they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. As they served God and walked with Him in this land, they knew that this world would not be their home, and they looked forward toward a better place. Because of these people's faith, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. What a great bit of encouragement then, as well as today. Next, let's look at verses 17 and 18. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Question: what do these verses tell you about how Abraham trusted God? Abraham trusted God's promises so much that when God commanded him to offer Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice, Abraham obeyed. Abraham passed the test because he was willing to do as God asked. When God promised that many descendants would be born through Isaac, Abraham brought Isaac to the altar, tied him up, and was about to sacrifice him, but God intervened at the last minute, sparing Isaac. Although he didn't understand God's command, his obedience was prompt and it was complete. Verse 19 is next. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God would be able to bring him back to life again. In a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. Question: what does this verse tell you about Abraham's faith? Abraham had believed God's promise to bring a great nation out of Isaac, so he reasoned that if Isaac died, God would be able to bring him back to life again. He even told his servant that the boy would come back to life. As a result of Abraham's faith, he figuratively received his son back from the dead. When Isaac was on the altar, he was as good as dead, but God spared him and restored him to Abraham. And now our last verse for today, verse 20. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. Question: here the writer talks briefly about another patriarch of the Old Testament, his faith. Who is that patriarch and what did he do? The patriarch was Isaac, and the writer says that it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. God chose the younger son, Jacob, to continue the fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. The ancient story of deception, greed, birthright, and blessing is really of no concern here. Verses 20 and 21 focus on the blessing conferred by aging fathers to their sons. Because of the deception, Isaac blessed Jacob, the younger son, instead of Esau. But this would have occurred anyway, for this was God's plan. Esau also received a blessing. The point is that Isaac had confidence in what God was doing. Right on and amen. Beloved, that brings us to the end of today's study of Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 20. To recap, we began by learning more about faith and what it is. Then we saw that Abel, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah demonstrated faith in God. They heard from God, they obeyed, and were blessed as a result. And while their actions were important, the common theme here was obedience to God when fulfillment of His promises seemed far away. And that's a really good lesson for us to take to heart as well. Next week, we'll continue with chapter 11, picking up with verse 21 all the way to verse 40, and we'll talk about Great Examples of Faith, part 2. Thanks again for being with us today. Have an amazing rest of your day and week. We'll see you right back here next time. Until then, God bless you. Go in peace. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for another encouraging message from God's Word. To find out more about our ministry, look us up on the web at www.whccnb.org. Word of Hope Christian Church, real people, a real God, real hope.